2 Peter chapter 1 is our text this morning, if you'd like to turn there. If you have your Bible, have it open on your lap. Kathy and I were away last weekend, but I was able to hear the message that Dick Shaw presented, and the information about the ministries in Mali and Ghana gave me a new insight for prayer for those Christians. We hear about them every once in a while from the pulpit as our missionaries for the week. And having the insight of someone who's been there and experienced the opposition and the challenges of the work, that was good to hear. But we were gone visiting our families, seeing the grandkids and how much they've grown, and you don't have to be gone very long, and they grow a lot. And they're going through changes, and that was good to see. And getting ready for the first day of school for some of them, that was an adventure. That was exciting. But they were anxious to go. And there's a little bit of maturity there, not fighting to extend their summer vacation. But they were all growing and going through some changes, good changes, and happy to see that. But when we get to Peter, I was thinking about similar things. That Peter is writing as an older man and challenging people to grow, to change, grow up. And none of us have arrived yet, so we all have room to grow. And as we read in through 2 Peter, we realize that he's coming to the end of his life. He suspects, like Paul did, that he's run the race, finished the course, and the time has come to depart. But the things that I'd like for us to see just in the first four verses are this topic of growing and knowing, growing in our knowledge of God. So let's read it. If you'd follow along, 2 Peter, I got to get that planted in my head. We're in 1 Peter for so long. 2 Peter chapter 1 in the first four verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I'd like for us to pray together as we begin. Heavenly Father, please bring these words to our hearts. Help us to understand with our minds, but plant them deep within us. To know you is to know life eternal. And we pray that we might continue to grow in that experience with you, that you would reveal yourself, that would respond to you, and may your word have effect this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, pretty simple outline. If you had your bulletin, you can see we just have a few simple things to point out of a short passage. But I think there's something going on here that sometimes we ignore. And so we are going to hit knowing God hard this morning. You might just prepare your hearts for that. You might stomp on toes a little bit, but mine were stomped on this week, so I'm just going to pass it on and see where we go. We are to grow in our knowledge of God. In the first verse, first two verses, it tells us that the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is key to something. So let's see what that would be. Well, Peter was among the disciples. We know that this man was an apostle. But he was among the disciples when they were out on the boat. The storm came up on the Sea of Galilee, and they were being tossed around, and water was coming into the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. He was exhausted from his ministry. And as he was sleeping, the disciples were not, and they were fearful, even being fishermen familiar with the Sea of Galilee, they were afraid. And so they woke him up and said, "Lord, don't you care if we perish?" And he stood up, and first thing he did, rocking in the boat, was say, "Oh, you of little faith, where's your faith?" And then he spoke to the wind and the waves, and they calmed down, became smooth. The sea became smooth. The wind stopped. And the disciples looked at each other and they said, "What kind of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Peter was there. What kind of man is this? Boy, have we got a lot to learn. Yeah. He was the one that said, "I would lay down my life for you. I'll go to war for you." And yet when the crunch came, said, "I don't know the man." Peter understands the need for growth. The growth in the area of knowing God. In fact, he begins his letter here in these four verses with the knowledge of God. You gain these things through the knowledge of God. And he closes his letter with, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Grow, keep growing. And I believe he is echoing the thoughts from the Old Testament even. This is throughout the whole Bible, this theme, know God. God wants to be known. He's a communicator. He communicates through us. He communicated through his prophets. And now he's communicated through his Son, Hebrews tells us. And he's given us his word. He is a communicator. He wants us to know him. And so Jeremiah was led of the Lord to write this, God's words. This is what the Lord says. "Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." I want people to know me. Don't boast in anything else except that you know me. Get to know me. Keep learning. Not just know about God, but the God who is full of compassion, the God who is just and righteous, the God who will judge sin, the God who has judged sin in his Son for our sake. How do you read verse 2? What's important in that verse? Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Through what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our knowledge of God enables us to apprehend his grace and peace. You know, this is one of the things that separates a person walking with the Lord Jesus from the rest of the world. It's this knowledge of God that opens the door to grace and peace. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God. When you were saved, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you received the grace of God, didn't you? "For it is by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And this business of his grace being available to us was exerted when we received Christ. His grace was a gift to us. Faith was a gift to us. It says back in verse 1 that we have received a faith as precious as ours, Peter writes. You've received the faith. Faith is a gift. The grace of God is a gift. But that's not all there is to it. There's a grace of living. There's a grace that God wants to demonstrate through you and to you as you live, and as I live, and as we go through life, a grace that is not recognized from God is not apprehended or getting taken a hold of. Grace is available if we do not reach out to God, if we don't know that God is a God of grace to help us in our time of trouble. If we don't reach out to Him, that grace doesn't do us any good. What does it say here? Grace and peace be abundant to you through something. You reach out to God because you know Him. You know He's a responder. You know He's compassionate. But grace received is as precious as ours, Peter said. Our knowledge of God enables us to apprehend His grace and peace. Grace and peace is not just a casual greeting. We read it at the beginning of other books. May grace, God's grace be abundant toward you, and so on. And we think, well, that's just what they say. That's what the apostles say when they write a letter. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. But they're saying something. They're saying that you people who understand, who know the Lord, have access to the grace of God that others who do not recognize it do not enjoy. They can't appreciate that. So we are producing some attributes of God as we know Him. He says, you have this attribute of God, of grace. May that be abundant to you through your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that you exercise also. What kind of grace do we exercise? It's turning to the Lord, but we have grace to pray instead of react. When we hear something that really bothers us, in fact, something really bothered me this morning. It bothered others here too. We had things not working in the sound system. And I was wandering around looking for stuff to fix it. And others were too. We were trying to figure out what was wrong. And as I headed downstairs, and I thought, well, here's an illustration. Lord, how can we fix this? Steve's guitar wasn't working, something in the wire, and we didn't have a replacement. Okay, Lord, it's just up to us guys this morning. What are we going to do? How would you fix it, Lord? And I don't know if you noticed, but his guitar was mic'd. It was fixed. A frustrating thing that our reaction is, I've got to fix this, is something that, you know, it's all right to ask the Lord's help. Can God be gracious in an everyday occurrence? God, help. That's not a really huge need, but in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says that we are to come before the throne of grace. Notice what kind of throne it is. The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That we can come about anything. We don't have to be agitated and bothered and just throw in the towel or take out our frustrations on somebody or something. But God, help. Help me respond as you would want me to respond. Help me not to become impatient. Help me not to see me as the Messiah, that I have to fix everything. But God, you're the fixer. You are the one that helps us in every situation. He gives us grace to be patient. You learned about that, didn't you? Yeah, our expectations are running into stone walls. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart and he'll bring things about in his time. And so Eric and Anna are in the house. His time. His way. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge God is able to meet me where I am right now. I know God is able, but because of what the Bible says and what others have experienced and what I have experienced myself, and each of us can say this, I hope, I can trust him in this situation for the grace also. Help me not to react in a way that is of my flesh, from my sinful nature, but help me to respond to things with the grace and peace that you give me. We enjoy his peace as we submit to his purposes because we know he's in control. We know because we have a knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know because we know the scriptures. We know because we've experienced him in our life. He has saved us by his grace, and he's growing us up by his grace, growing us in the knowledge of God. It's this living in the knowledge of God that separates us from the world. We are also to know God as our source of spiritual resources. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of there it is. What? Through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So here's another step in knowing God. We are able to access his divine power. We have access to his divine power. Peter was a Jewish man, an apostle. So he had a history. He had a heritage. He had the stories from the Old Testament that he could go back and say, I had family back there at that time. I had family in Egypt. I'm of this tribe and they were there and they went through those 10 plagues in Egypt. They saw God act. They were getting an education of who God is. And that final plague, the judgment on Egypt, when the firstborn in every family through Egypt that didn't have the sacrificed blood put on their door and the sides. He could go back there and think about that. Because then it says, having seen all that, they came out into the wilderness. And still, they had complaints, didn't they? You know the stories from the Old Testament. They're ready to spout off against Moses, and when they came up to the Red Sea, and they couldn't go to the right, and they couldn't go to the left, and behind them was Pharaoh and his army coming, and they say, why'd you bring us out here to die? We could have died in Egypt. And they complained, and God told Moses what he was going to do, and Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is God's fight for you. This is God's battle. And he opened up the Red Sea and they went across. And then they sang songs about God delivering them from Pharaoh. And they got another education. Our early trials are given to us to build our faith for the next thing. So that we learn more about God. He wants us to know him. Israel found God as a deliverer. We've been delivered from the penalty of our sin when we put our faith in Jesus. But he wants us to know how he works through all of our life. Can we trust him when we lay in a hospital or at home or just feel like, you know, this is the end? What happens now? Well, how well do you know the Lord? Can you take him at his word? Can you say, I know the Lord has prepared a place for me. I know that I'll be going home. It's the Lord Jesus who died the righteous for the unrighteous in order to bring us to God. He'll usher me home. Do you know Him that well? Do you know Him in everyday relationship? He's growing us through those trials. When we were early in ministry, a lot of years ago, I had a tendency to say, I need to do something else. I don't know if anyone else has been in that position, but things would get tough, and I'd think, you know, I'm still young enough, I can still do these things, I'm going to go back and do something I did. I need to support my family. That was a big one that would come up to me. I've got to support my family, so I guess I'll go off and do something else. There was an older gentleman who told me something very wise, and I've heard it from other sources now too, and I'd like to pass it on to you. And he said very simply, he was building saddles and over in Gibbonsville, and I'd sit down on a stool there, and he'd be working, and we'd be visiting, and I'd toss out my frustrations at him, and he would say, and he'd repeat it because I was a slow learner, do not question in the dark what God has revealed in the light. Why are you here in ministry to begin with? Well, God called me. Do you feel like you're walking in the dark now because you're frustrated with the way things are going, or someone said something to you, or you feel like, I don't know if I can maintain this level of support and have supply for my family? You're questioning all these things. Is that the darkness? Well, I suppose it could be. Well, don't question in the dark what God has revealed in the light. He called you. And what does God do when He calls us? He provides, doesn't He? Is it always the way that I want it? Not necessarily. And it's not always the way we expect it to come. But God does provide. We heard about that yesterday, didn't we, Tim? Praise God for what He's taken you through. So, a verse that went along with that, that I am still learning, is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. You know, one of my favorite words in that verse, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he said, for I have learned. That one. I have learned to be content in every situation. No matter what state I'm in, whether it's Iowa or Oregon or, no, not those kinds of states, but whatever circumstances I'm in, they're in to be content. But I've learned. And Paul is an older man, and he said, you know, it did come naturally. It wasn't something I was born with, but I learned to be content. I learned that God is able to meet me whether I have plenty or whether I'm lacking. I can be content because God is in control. Ooh, have we learned that one yet? I'm learning. It's a process yet. I'm glad Paul got to the point where he could say, I have learned. Because if we're not content, we tend to lean back on the things that we're familiar with. The ways that we've lived for this many years before I came to Christ. That's always a temptation to go back to Egypt. If we can use that phrase from Old Testament, Israel was always wanting to go back to Egypt. God says, no, go ahead. And we want to step ahead with the Lord too. Contentment is a key for that. And a couple of verses help us in understanding that. In the book of Psalms, the first verse, how do you say Psalm 23 and verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I like a newer translation better that's on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Now, when we're lacking, whether we're lacking in health, we're lacking in finances, we're lacking in energy, we're lacking in familial or friendship support, who's still the shepherd? The Lord is. Can we say, the Lord, since He is my shepherd, and He's leading my way, and He's providing the pasture, He's providing the rest, He's providing the water, He's providing the rod, the protection, He's providing all this. What are my options? I can say no to the shepherd. I want to deal with this myself. Or I can be content and understand Psalm 23:1 is saying you do have everything that you need. Because the Lord is your shepherd. And we can all say it, the Lord is my shepherd, that I have what He intends for me to have. I have what I need. If I feel that I'm lacking, what did the Apostle Paul say? I have learned that in every situation, whether in abundance or with little, therewith to be content. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. If He saw to it that I had little, He'd provide what I need. Now, His definition, my definition, sometimes don't agree. But comes back to who's in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 then help us in supporting that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him. How do you acknowledge Him? He's there. I belong to Him. I acknowledge Him as Lord, not me as Lord. Not someone else as Lord. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. And what's He going to do? King James translation says, He will direct your paths. Other translations, He will make your path straight, clear, and we can commit it to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Get to know the Lord as the provider, as the one who will direct the paths. We didn't exhaust everything in verse 3, but we're going to go on anyway. Verse 4, through these, by His own glory and great goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He gives us so much. Just these little four verses. Laying hold of His promises, the believer enjoys a great privilege. And the first is, you participate in the divine nature through these very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate. We never become gods. We don't become gods. That's a lie of the enemy, because if we were gods, we wouldn't need God. But through our knowledge of Him, He has given us something in order for us to participate in the divine nature. And who does that lead us to? The Holy Spirit. The first thing we find is the promise of the Comforter, the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit. And through Him we participate in the divine nature. And just some verses to consider in that. We aren't left powerless because we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. But we participate in the divine nature in that Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27 says, this is the mystery proclaimed to the Gentiles. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. You aren't on your own. You're not left to your own devices. You have a resource the world knows nothing about. The God of the universe, the Creator, has chosen by His Holy Spirit to reside in you, Christ in you. Unlimited resource. God, this is my need. I don't know how you could meet it, God. You're talking to the Creator, man. Christ in you. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus was speaking when he said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What do we have? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to come, the Comforter, and he's going to be with you forever. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but he'll be there. He'll be just me in spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the Father and the Son said, we're going to come and make our home with you. We participate in the divine nature. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to produce a fruit that is godlike. If we turn to Galatians and chapter 5, I'd like to read it a little bit differently just to get the point. Verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'd like to put Jesus' name in there and just read it through that way. The Spirit of Jesus is love. The Spirit of Jesus is joy. The Spirit of Jesus is peace. The Spirit of Jesus is patience. The Spirit of Jesus is kindness. The Spirit of Jesus is goodness. The Spirit of Jesus is faithfulness. The Spirit of Jesus is gentleness. And the Spirit of Jesus is self-control. Who lives in you? Who lives in your heart? Who has taken up residence in your body? Christ is in you. The hope of glory, the hope of expressing who God is. And the fruit of the Spirit is what God is. We participate because we are active in this. We are given the opportunity to live this out. Live out these attributes of God. We aren't God because we're not omnipotent. We're not everywhere at the same time. We don't know everything. But He placed His Spirit in us so that we would know Him and who He is, because He's producing who He is in us. He's not making us gods, but He's making us His kids, His life in us. To know God is to know life. The second promise, the first one was that we participate in the divine nature because He's given us the Holy Spirit. The second promise is that we escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires or caused by lust. Escape the corruption. In Matthew 6, Jesus said that there's two ways. There's a narrow way, the straight way, the narrow gate, that leads to life. And there's also a broad way. I guess I wouldn't really want to live on Broadway. It has bad connotations to me. Because Jesus said the broad way is what many find that one, and it leads to destruction, the broad way. So living in this world, the bulk of people living in this world are on a way that Proverbs describes as the way that seems right to a man. It seems right. I can talk myself into this way. But the end thereof is destruction. Well, what he wants to save us from is the corruption that's in this world caused by evil desires. And corruption comes when God the Creator is excluded. The people on the broad way don't care that they offend God. I don't believe there is a God. I believe in many gods. Which one am I offending? And so the God who is holy and above all says, you're just living out your position of being condemned. It's the broad way. It leads to destruction. And God has lifted us out of that. Through our knowledge of God, we've been lifted out. We've responded to a Savior who died on the cross to take the penalty of our sin, take our guilt, and we're free of it. We can have a clean conscience, a clear conscience, because none of our history is held to our account. Your sin is forgiven. Wow. Lifted up out of that. If we were left to ourselves, the default would be death, sin and death. But left to God, it's life, eternal life. That's what Jesus said in John 17 when he was praying. And the first thing he addressed was this matter of knowing God in his prayer. He said in verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've given you glory on the earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." To know God. To know God is eternal life, Jesus prayed. It's not the actions we do. It's not the things that we say. But it's our commitment to know God. Salvation is in no other name. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Know God. Know Him. Do you know Him today? Through all this morning, have you been saying, man, I'm on the outside. I've never really thought about God as a person to know. But we know Him through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by inviting Him into our life. And if you have that kind of tug today, I want to give you a warning that if you resist it today, it may be your last opportunity. We don't know that. But to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my life. Forgive my sin too. I long to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know the Savior. I want to know the Creator. I want to know those things of God, His compassion, His justice, His holiness, His purity, His love, His peace. I want to know those things. Come into my life, Lord. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. I'm grateful, Father, that we can come to you and not feel like our prayers are just being tossed up to some deity that needs to grab them and do something. But we talk to you as a personal Father. We pray. We bring our requests to you. We bring our expressions of faith and love. And I pray that we might respond to you with even a greater hunger to know you, to experience your hand in our work, in our relationships, that you are the one who longs to know us and have us in fellowship with you. So I pray for those, anyone here, who hasn't received the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. Pray that you would open hearts. We'd respond to you. I pray that you'd help us as followers of the Lord Jesus to commit our ways to you. See your hand produce the work that you would call us to do, that you would use to reveal yourself. And I thank you, Lord, that by your grace, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please go with us from this place. Fill us with your Spirit. Enlarge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.